أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين، وصلى الله على سيدنا محمد وآله الطاهرين. ثم أسكن سبحانه آدم دارا أرغد فيها عيشه وآمن فيها محلته وحذره إبليس وعداوته فاغتره عدوه نقاسة عليه بدار المقام ومرافقة الأبرار. In the continuation of the first sermon, we had a brief story of the creation of Adam alayhi salam, and then what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala asked the angels to do in terms of bowing to him and to prostrate before Adam alayhi salam, and the story of Iblis. Now we come to the story of Adam and what Allah did to him after all those arguments with Iblis. He says, alayhi salam, that then after all those issues which happened, that Iblis asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for some time and some respite, and Allah gave him the respite, and he was assured that he will remain there for a while. Then Allah made Adam alayhi salam to dwell in a home, daran, in a house, which of course that house was quite specific. Arqada fiha Aisha. His providence was abundant in that place, in that house, or in that place of habitat. Wa amana fiha mahallata. And it was quite secure, a secure place from disease, from different plagues of life, from whatever would make a life insecure in our world. So that was quite specific in that term as well. As we have in Surah Taha, إِنَّ لَكَ أَلَّا تَجُوعَ فِيهَا وَلَا تَعْرَى. In this house, in this place, you do not need food, you do not need clothing. وَأَنَّكَ لَا تَضْمَعُ فِيهَا وَلَا تَبْهَى. You do not go thirsty, because there are plenty of water here, and also you do not feel the heat of sun. It was quite pleasant from every aspect. So وَآمَنَ فِيهَا مَحَلَّتَهُ. And there was only one thing in that place which was quite similar to this world, and that is Iblis could come there and start to whisper and somehow tempt Adam to different issues. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also warned Adam about Iblis and the enmity. And as we have in the Quran, the verse says, قُلْنَا يَا آدَمْ إِنَّ هَذَا عَدُوٌ لَكَ وَلِزَوْجِكَ. Actually, Allah showed Iblis to them and said, this is your enemy and the enemy of your spouse. فَلَا يُخْرِجَنَّكُمَا مِنَ الْجَنَّةِ فَتَشْقَى. Again, Surah Taha. So beware that he does not remove you from this garden. Then you will face difficulties. You will face misery. So حَذَّرَهُ إِبْلِيسَ وَعَدَاوَتَهُ. However, Adam was deceived. فَاخْتَرَّهُ عَدُوُّهُ نَفَاسَةً عَلَيْهِ بِدَارِ الْمُقَامِ وَمُرَافَقَةِ الْأَبْرَارِ. His enemy, Iblis. So this is a very quick and summarized account of the story of Adam in that garden. After he was there, his enemy deceived him out of jealousy of the place that Allah had placed him, alayhi nafasatan alayhi bidar al-muqam, a place which was the place of eternity, to be there forever. وَمُرَافَقَةِ Abrar, and also the company of the righteous, which were the angels, of course, and other sublime creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Taba'a al-yaqina bishak. So Adam actually sold his certain knowledge that Allah had given him in and took in place some doubtful concepts and ideas. وَالْعَزِيمَةَ بِوَحْنَهِ And also he exchanged his azimah, his resolve that Allah had given him in terms of worshipping him, to a type of estimation about what Iblis told him. وَاسْتَبْدَلَ بِالْجَذَلِ وَجَلَى So he exchanged happiness with fear. وَبِالْإِخْتَرَارِ نَدَمًا And of course he bought with his deception, the deception Iblis actually made to him, regrets and remorse. ثُمَّ بَسَطَ اللَّهُ سُبْحَانَهُ لَهُ فِي تَوْبَتِهِ Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opened the door of tawbah for him. وَلَقَّاهُ كَلِمَةَ رَحْمَتِهِ And taught him or threw to him the kalima of his mercy, the word of his mercy. وَوَعَدَهُ الْمَرَدَّ إِلَىٰ جَنَّتِهِ And promised him the return to that garden again. وَأَحْبَطَهُ إِلَىٰ دَارِ الْبَلِيَّةِ وَتَنَاصُلِ الْبُرِّيَّةِ And somehow made him to descend from that place to a place which is a place of tribulations and trials, دَارِ الْبَلِيَّةِ وَتَنَاصُلِ الْبُرِّيَّةِ And of course reproduction, having children, and all the issues which this place, this new place would entail. Now there are different issues. Just I gave a brief translation of what Imam alayhi salam was saying about the story of the deception of Adam. There are a few issues that we have to discuss here. First of all, here we have that place was a place in which everything was provided for Adam alayhi salam. He did not need anything. And as we have in the Quran, there was only one tree in that garden that Allah had told Adam alayhi salam that should not get near it. And therefore, it was a type of test. Although that place was not a place of testing, was not a place for trial. However, it became a type of trial for Adam alayhi salam to approach that tree. And it, in fact, that tree was the symbol of the world in which Adam was going to be banished later on, being the place of trials and tribulations and tests of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, in that garden, that was a very, very limited issue. We are put into tests in this world. We are put into trials. And we accept those tests and trials because we are in need, because we have desires, because our desires are not fulfilled. And since our desires are not fulfilled, we are tempted to go for getting them, for acquiring what we want. Now, we either do it in a halal way and refrain from haram, then we are, of course, successful in the test. But what usually happens is that we go for the haram. We try to ignore the call of our conscience and, of course, the orders of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to acquire what we desire. And this is, of course, the bad side of the test. And this is why the test works in this world. In that garden, testing Adam alayhi salam was very difficult, and you would admit it was difficult to test Adam and to put him in trial, because that tree was something that he did not really need to go and to eat from, and everything was put in place for him. He was completely aware of the order of his Lord, of command of his Lord, and also completely aware of the shaitan and his nature, because Allah had told him, this is your enemy. Now, the whole story, well, I don't say it's a symbolic story, but it symbolizes the human nature. That if there is the slightest possibility for shaitan to somehow test the person, to put them into some sort of doubt and deception, he would use it, shaitan would use it. And everyone, even Adam alayhi salam in that garden, was susceptible, was quite defenseless in facing and confronting that deception of shaitan. Now, one question, why did Adam accept the call of shaitan despite the knowledge that he had that he was his enemy, and despite the needless nature of that place that would have made him needless of approaching that tree, tasting that tree, eating that tree? How the story is put in the Quran is somehow defiant to the sentence here which is mentioned by Imam alayhi salam. He says that, now we have to see, of course, on the face of it, it's a bit contradictory. We have to find the right explanation for what Imam is actually mentioning here. He says, Imam alayhi salam says, وَحَذَّرَهُ أَبْلِيسَ وَعَذَاوَتَهُ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warned Adam about Iblis and his enmity. But Iblis deceived him, نَفَاسَةً عَلَيْهِ بَذَارِ الْمُقَامِ, because he was jealous of Adam being in the abode of eternity. So it would give the implication that Adam was in a place in which he was going to be there forever, an eternal place, and Shaitan didn't want him to be there. In the Quran, we don't have such a concept that Adam was created for that garden to be there forever. There are many different verses that allude to this. However, the most important one is the way Shaitan deceived Adam alayhi salam. Now, what was that tree? Why Adam was interested to go and eat from that tree are two issues. The nature of that tree is one issue. Why Adam was interested to eat from it is another issue. The Quran doesn't go about explaining for us the nature of that tree and what was actually in what was the tree, what type of fruit it had. Well, it's completely irrelevant to the story, actually. What is relevant, and the Quran mentions it, is that why did Adam go and took the offer of Shaitan to go and eat from that? Now, in two verses of the Quran, this is explained in a clear way. The beginning of the story of deception is that, of course, Shaitan started to come and somehow make some sort of good rapport with Adam alayhi salam. Just becoming familiarized with him, talking to him. And of course he was allowed to do that, and Adam knew that this was the enemy. Now, Shaitan was somehow looking for something in Adam's mind or heart to penetrate and to suggest. If you don't have anything in your heart which would give way to suggestions of Shaitan, of course he cannot penetrate. That's why he can never penetrate to the mind and heart of a prophet. Of course, in this world, we are not talking about a world prior to this world. Because there is no point of penetration. In our hearts, there are many points of penetration that Shaitan can come and penetrate. Now, he was looking for a point, or for a hole, so to speak, in Adam's heart to start his deception. What he found was that this place was so precious to Adam. Adam liked that place very much. Now, this was one point which, of course, was could be dwelt upon, could be cashed in by Shaitan. The second issue was that he gradually found out that Adam is willing, or he doesn't mind, to live here forever. And this was the point where he started his deception. He came and told to Adam, told Adam that, you know, in this garden there is a tree, which is the tree of eternality. Whoever eats from it, they would never die. Well, this was a type of knowledge that he was revealing to Adam alayhi salam, and certainly Adam didn't know everything about that garden, didn't know all corners and different places of that garden. So Adam was amazed. Well, there is a tree in this garden which whoever eats from will become eternal. This is what is mentioned in Surah Taha. فَوَسْوَسَ إِلَيْهِ الشَّيْطَانِ Shaitan started to whisper, قَالَ يَا آدَمْ هَلْ أَدُلُّكَ عَلَى شَجَرَةِ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى You want me to guide you to a tree which is the tree of eternality and would give you a mulk, a kingdom which never goes away, which will be for you forever. If you eat from that tree, it will make you eternal. What would you expect from Adam to respond? Is that, well, it might be, but I'm not going to listen to you. And certainly this is what Adam did, we can guess. I'm not going to listen to you, whatever is that tree. However, a doubt was created in Adam's mind. Well, there might be, it is possible, creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is possible that there is a tree in this garden. What Imam here says, فَبَعَ الْيَقِينَ بِشَكِّهِ He had a certainty that he should not follow Shaitan. But then doubt came to his heart. That it is possible. Why am I not listening to him? Although he is the enemy, but he has some knowledge. And I can use his knowledge. I can somehow find out about that tree to see whether he is right or wrong. However, what is very, very important is that the knowledge of both Adam and Shaitan, that Adam is not going to be there in that garden forever. Because if Adam knew that he's eternal there in that garden forever, then there was no need for giving him a hint that there is a tree in this garden that would make you eternal. So what does Imam means here that by saying that Shaitan deceived Adam out of jealousy of him being in Darul Muqam, in the place of eternity, and Murafaqat al-Abrar. Now certainly this Darul Muqam here, if we compare it to the verses of the Quran, would not mean that garden. Because in that garden, he didn't have Murafaqat al-Abrar, and he knew that it was not Darul Muqam, it is not the place of eternity. Therefore, what we can understand from this is that Shaitan didn't want Adam to go to the paradise after this life, after his life. And this is what he had about all of us, not only about Adam. He is very jealous about us going in paradise, since he himself is going to go to hell. And he would not leave any stone unturned about every single individual of us to somehow divert us from that Darul Muqam and company of Abrar and the righteous people. He doesn't want us to go there. And he knew that this first human being is going to die and to be resurrected, and then there are, of course, children of him who are higher in position from him, who are from Abrar and who are going to go in that garden. He didn't want, first of all, this for Adam and then for his progeny. Now, as Quran puts it for us, Adam thought that, okay, that tree which is mentioned by Shaitan would be some tree in this garden, but he did not imagine that it would be that forbidden tree that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him not to eat. So what happened after the, after some sort of temptation and doubt and somehow psychological tension inside Adam alayhi salam, he decided to follow Shaitan so that he would show him that tree. And if it was not, of course, the tree, the forbidden tree, what was wrong for Adam? There was nothing stopping him from eating from that tree. So there was nothing wrong. Up to this point, there was nothing wrong of Adam asking Shaitan to show him that tree. Now, the whole deception unfolds gradually for Adam when Shaitan brings him to that tree. Now, when he comes to that tree, of course, well, you can imagine, or you can now contemplate, and for example, after weeks and months of discussion between Adam and Shaitan, Adam said, okay, show me the tree, let me see if you are right or wrong. And then Shaitan said, okay, follow me, I'll show you the tree. And he brings Adam to the same tree as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had told him not to eat from. Now, of course, the first thing that Adam would say is that, you damn creature, this is a tree which you are told not to eat from. What are you doing? What are you saying? You say that this is the tree of eternal knowledge, come and eat from it. And Allah tells us not to eat from. Go away, we are not going to eat from it. Whatever you insist. Now, another trick by Shaitan. Well, why Allah has told you not to eat from this tree? Have you ever thought about it? Well, no. We never thought about it. He just told us not to eat from this, and we are not going to eat from this. We don't need it. Well, that's why. He has told you not to eat from this tree. قَالَ مَا نَهَاكُمَا رَبُّكُمَا عَنْ تِلْكُمَ الشَّجَرَةِ إِلَّا أَنْ تَكُونَا مَلَكَيْنِ أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ. You know why your Lord has told you not to eat from this tree? Well, of course, because He doesn't want you to become like angels, to malakayn, أَوْ تَكُونَا مِنَ الْخَالِدِينَ, or to become eternal. That is why He has told you. Now, you put yourself in place of Adam alayhi salam. One thing Shaitan has told him, he wants to test to see whether Shaitan is telling the truth or not, is this the tree of eternal knowledge? And when he firmly stands against Shaitan saying that this is the tree that we are told not to eat from, then a very tricky type of statement is made by Shaitan, that is why your Lord has told you not to eat from this tree. Now, Shaitan, Adam alayhi salam is now in a crossroads, thinking what to do. Shall I test it? Do I become eternal? Is this why my Lord has said not to eat from this tree? Maybe. And what happens if I eat? What is God going to do with me? If I eat this and I become eternal, then if I become an angel, then what is God? Well, He's just probably going to tell me off, isn't it? Why did you eat from that tree? And while I have become eternal already, why I have become like an angel or a complete eternal kingdom. Now, in the Quran, we have a few verses actually mentioning this status of Adam while he was in this some sort of agony, internal tension with himself. وَلَقَدْ أَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ من قبله فنسي ولم نجد له عظما. We had a covenant with Adam before that you should not, this is your enemy, you should not eat from this tree, this was our ahd. He forgot that this was an ahd. He thought, because he was analyzing things, analyzing with himself, going through that tension of, is it possible that I become eternal in this garden, and in this place? Is it not a good thing to happen, forever being here? And then, of course, that resolve that a person should have in following the command of the Lord, it was weakened due to this analysis. Now, it's interesting, in Surah A'raf, when we have the story of Adam a.s. Mentioned for us, an account of the story, almost a very detailed account of the story, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala draws some conclusions and put it in front of us, put those conclusions in front of us, saying that you judge yourself and decide what you want to do. This is the story of your father, your parents, and you decide for yourself. And there are four admonitions coming after the story by the address, Ya Bani Adam, O children of Adam. Did you listen to the story of your parents? Now listen, Ya Bani Adam, لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة. Now this is the most important word I want to mention here. O children of Adam, be careful that Shaitan would not try you, would not deceive you, the same way he deceived your parents and drove them out of their garden. لا يفتننكم الشيطان كما أخرج أبويكم من الجنة. Now, in fact, what Quran is telling us is that the deception of the Shaitan is the same. And if you are not firm in following my commands, your deception is 100%. You are going to go through whatever your parents went through, although they were even much, much more better than you, but you are going to go through the same thing. Now, the same thing was, first of all, when Shaitan comes to us, and we have in our fitrah that we have to worship our Lord, we have to follow Him. And in our fitrah, and by the command of the prophets, we have that we have to do certain things, and we have to avoid certain things. The first thing that Shaitan comes and tells us is, why you not have said to do this? Why you should you? Have you ever thought about it? Why shouldn't you have pleasure in life, for example, instead of meticulously going about doing all these things, following all these commands? And then, of course, what's the reason? Why? What's the reason behind this? And this is what actually makes the whole structure of religious-mindedly of a person loose, in a sense that since they are not very deep-rooted in the knowledge of religion and faith, most of us are quite defenseless about this type of trick of the Shaitan. Well, why shouldn't you drink wine? For example, why? What's wrong with it? There are lots of benefits in it. And what's wrong with having some pleasure, some sort of relax? And it would enhance your spirit, and you can work better. You can enjoy your life better, and many other things. And just different examples that can come to the mind, and why we see the world in this situation, because every individual is following the same deception, is actually trapped in the same deception of the Shaitan. So we follow the doubts that come to our minds with regards to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, with regards to our conduct in this world. Although usually our fitrah tells us that the certain thing is to follow the right path of religion. So this is how they were deceived. Shaitan found an inclination in their hearts towards eternity, to be eternal in that garden. And to be eternal in that garden, it meant that they cannot go move higher in their journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what we are deceived with. Look at the people around you and see how many of them are really, really seeing the death which is falling upon them sooner or later. All of us forget about it. Of course, we do not forget that we are going to die someday. But our actions are performed in a way that we are never going to die. And we are going to be here forever. Even when we come to an old age, still we have that type of longing for longer life. Even if we are so much entangled with difficulties of life, we still would like to have continue with this life rather than going to a higher type of life. And this is what, of course, Shaitan has brought for us as the fruit of that tree of eternality. Would you like to be eternal? If this world is very, very much different from the world in which Adam was living. In that world, there was no disease, no calamity, no difficulty, no headache. From literally or metaphorically, there was no headache whatsoever in that world. In this world, well, this world is completely different. Everywhere, every direction you turn, there are headaches, difficulties, problems, troubles. But if someone comes and tells you, I know of a medicine or of a tree or of a type of water that if you eat or if you drink, you will become eternal in this world, how many of us would accept it? And how many of us would actually try to disobey whatever the prophets have told us to somehow fetch or eat or drink from that material which are. How many people actually in the past and nowadays have been after such a thing to either prolong their lives or if they can make it eternal? And you see, if we are deceived, of course, if we are clever people, we never accept such things. Even to prolong our lives, we never accept it. If someone comes to you and say, I have found a water or a medicine that if you eat or drink, your life will become 200 years instead of 100 years. If you are clever, you wouldn't accept it. Because why? Why should we stay longer in this world than shorter? Because we are going to move to a better world if we have our life conducted in the right way. So, but you would see that most of us are deceived in about this world, which is the world of calamity. What would you imagine about that world in which Adam was living? And you put yourself in place of Adam. Very righteous, very pious, whatever. But there is a doubt that it might work. This tree might work. If I eat from it, I might become eternal here. And then you will see the temptation is very strong. And, of course, it was a test for all human beings. Allah telling us that do not long for living in this world. Whether it's the Jannah, the paradise of Adam, or it is your own world, because this is now just a prelude to a better world. And Shaitan actually is trying to deceive you, to tell you that you can stay here forever. And of course, this would tell us many, many things about human psychology, about the way we look at this world, about the way we look at the type of human journey towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And there would remain one question here, that did not Adam know about all these things? Shaitan knew that Adam is going to have children, is going to come to the world in which his children are going to be reproduced and live. And that's why he, before coming to Adam, he told to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I am going to deceive all of them. إِلَّا عِبَادَكَ مِنْهُمُ الْمُخْلَصِينَ. And Adam certainly knew that he was going to have children, and his children are going to live. But didn't he have that knowledge that he's going to move to a higher world than that world in which he was living? Certainly he had that knowledge. But as Quran mentions, وَلَقَدْ أَحِدْنَا إِلَىٰ آدَمَ مِنْ قَبْلُ فَنَسْيَا. Something happened to him. He did not have that resolve. There is a hadith mentioned in both Sunni and Shi'i books that the Prophet, peace be on him, says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave me the choice to live in this world. This was just before, a few weeks before his demise. Gave me a choice to live in this world forever. Not forever, until the world is there, this world. And have the kingdom in this world. Have the power and whatever he might desire. And after that, die and go to his paradise. Go beside him. Well, what would be more pleasant than this? To live in this world for whatever time you think that would be good, that this world is going to be there, in a very, very pleasant way, not a hard life, but a very good life. And after you die, of course, in that period, you are a prophet, you are a king, you have all types of bounties of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And after that, you will go to the vicinity of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this was the choice given to the Prophet. He said, he mentioned, Allah has given me this choice. And the choice of leaving and going to him now. And I, of course, made the second choice. To leave and go to him now. Because that was the better choice, of course. Why should he linger longer in this war if he could go now and live beside Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? Without being tried and tried and tried more and more and more. And usually, when you think of people having very long life, I don't know, I feel pity for them. Maybe you feel that they are, some people feel that they are very lucky people having very long life, but it's not the case. Having, for example, our Prophet lived among his people preaching for 23 years. Imagine if that was somehow prolonged to 230 years. It would have been painstaking, very difficult, isn't it? So, about the Prophet like Nuh alayhi salam, you might imagine how difficult his life would have been, having that very long life with his people. It is not always a favor that you give very long life to a person. Like Nuh alayhi salam, of course, he preached for 950 years, and you can imagine his situation among his people. And that's why probably in Surah Safat, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala greets the prophets, Salamun ala Musa wa Harun, Salamun ala Ibrahim, he greets Nuh alayhi salam with a very, very specific greeting. Salamun ala Nuh in fil alameen. This is specific to Nuh alayhi salam, maybe because of the long trouble that he endured, because of his long life. The same thing is about Imam al-Mahdi alayhi salam. He is having a very long life. Of course, his life now is about half the life of Nuh alayhi salam. We hope that it's not prolonged at that long as the life of Nuh alayhi salam. But certainly he is also in pain living this long life. Long life, of course, if you have long life and you spend it in ta'a of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, all the seconds are good for you. But at one time, Allah should certainly decide that this is the appointed time, now you have done enough, you come to me. And that is a pleasure, not a pain. So, what shaitan actually brings for us in this deception, and the root of which was in that garden, is really a deception which, if we think about it carefully, we would think that it is not something that, even the offer is not a good offer. The offer of eternality is not a good offer. to make a human being. However, of course, Adam was somehow فَبَاعَ الْيَقِينَ بِشَكِّهِ. He sold his certainty in exchange of the doubt that Shaitan created in his heart. وَالْعَظِيمَةَ بِوَحْنِهِ. And the resolve that Allah had told him to have in following his command, to just an estimation, a conjecture that he had about that tree. And therefore, in this way, he exchanged his happiness with وَاسْتَبْدَلَ بِالْجَدَلِ وَجَلَى, his happiness with fear, وَبِالْإِخْتِرَارِ نَدَمَى. And then, of course, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala retrieved him, which we will, inshallah, discuss next week. وَصَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَى مُحَمَّدٍ وَعَلَيْهِ الصَّلَاةِ.
The Shaitan says that I have misguided him, that Ibn could move his soul. Was not the Adam one of the Muslims against Allah? And he was Masoon, the king of sin, and he was the king of forgiveness.
Yes, of course. The way Shaitan is speaking to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is when Adam has come to this world, has descended actually to this world, Adam and his progeny. And he is talking about Mukhlasun on this earth. What happened for Adam was something going before all these, the story of Adam and his progeny on the earth. Probably we have to somehow separate that and give it a different account than what we have on this earth. Certainly when Adam came to this earth and made that tawbah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he became one of the mukhlasun. He found out about the religion of God, and he was given actually the authority on that religion. He received guidance from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then he falls into that category of mukhlasun that Shaitan can never deceive. What happened in that garden, it was quite a specific case which went before start of the story of Adam and his progeny on this earth. So we can say, yes, after Adam came to this earth, he was from mukhlasun and Shaitan could never deceive him again.
Is there a question here? Sheikh, may I ask a question? I think in one of your classes we were talking about Adam, and there are some riwayat that say he was in the garden for thousands of years. And there were others that say that he's been there for such a short time, maybe not even a day. What is the reality of this?
I don't think we can rely on any of these accounts. What we can imagine is that certainly it was not a sort of play that should have been played very quickly. Shaitan coming to Adam saying, should I show you the tree of eternality? And he said, yes please, and he's going and eating from it. Certainly it has taken some time. And that time is not known for us. We don't know how long it would have taken. We can imagine that it would have taken so long that Adam actually fought with himself about what Allah had told him, what Shaitan had offered. Was this a sin or was not a sin? What happened for Adam actually, and this is what of course comes in our riwayat, is that Adam didn't commit a sin. He committed tarka'ula, something which was makruh rather than haram. How we can put this is that he did tarka'ula in the sense that of course the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was quite clear, that you shall not eat from this tree, and this is your enemy. It was quite clear. What can come to our mind is that Adam somehow, after analyzing the situation, he doubted whether this was a sin or was not a sin. And in this sense, we can say that he followed a shubha rather than a sin, a confused situation. He didn't know. He really thought that, he thought that Allah had told him not to eat to become eternal, But he had the choice to become eternal and not to become eternal. Something like this. And this should have taken some time. This shouldn't have happened just quickly as we have in some rawat, a few hours. But few thousand years, well, that is not imaginable.
Okay, yes. Good question. You didn't mention anything at all about Eve. It did not mention at all, but what we hear is the fact that Eve was also involved somehow. And about the tree, I mean, obviously we hear in Christianity talking about apples. Is there nothing at all mentioned about that?
In the Quran, of course, Adam and Hawa are just taken as one side of the story. So when we talk about Adam, we mean Adam and Hawa together, Adam and Eve together. And the way it's put, of course, in the Bible, is not put in the Quran that it was Eve who deceived Adam alayhi salam. No, it says Adam actually was. For what was a lahuma shaitan, both of them were actually whispered by shaitan, and both of them were deceived. None of them actually tried to encourage the other or stop the other. Both of them somehow followed the deception of the shaitan. And it is mentioned in our riwayat about the tree was apple or it was some sort of crops like wheat or something like that. In the Bible we have it was tree of knowledge, which would have made Adam to have the knowledge of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and therefore become as knowledgeable as God, and this is why God didn't want him to eat from. But Quran is quite clear about it. He thought that this was the tree of eternal knowledge and would give him a sort of kingdom. Yes, this kingdom, mulk and liabla, because mulk belongs to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This might be somehow similar to what is mentioned, that it was something which would have made Adam something like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But what he thought was angels, were angels. أَنْتَكُنَا مَلَكَيْنَ or شَجَرَةَ الْخُلْدِ وَمُلْكٍ لَا يَبْلَى. So eternality and some sort of kingdom like the kingdom of the angels. It seems for the Quran it's not important what tree it was. What is important is why Adam ate from it, which was eternality.
Sheikh, for example, in the
year
I can choose, we try to resort to the wasila of Imams or the Prophet to Allah to guide us. Now, these are not turned towards Allah for the guidance. So what should we do?
Well, the guidance was given to him, and it was a point where Adam was not receiving a revelation anymore from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to tell him what to do. He had already told him what to do and what not to do. And this, yes, this is another issue that we have to have in mind. We shouldn't think that on every occasion Allah should tell us what to do, what not to do. We should have someone to tell us, specifically in every case, that this is what you have to do, next step is this one. We find some people who are very religious, very pious. They really like to have someone to tell them at every stage of life that what is the next step that they have to take. Well, the life would never become as easy. It is always difficult to make decisions. And what we can be told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is that, well, I have already told you. The guidance has come. And you are not going to receive anything more. You have to judge yourself, you have reason. And this was the situation of Adam alayhi salam. Allah had told him, and then he was not going to receive, for example, when he was going to pick the tree, an angel coming and telling him, no, don't do it, this is not the right thing to do. No, he had to judge himself. And this is the way the life goes in this world as well.
One on calamity, one on the calamity, one over, and one on confusion. What is the calamity on the confusion from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala?
Confusion was not from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Confusion was actually a creation of shaitan. And this is what always happens. Allah would give clear guidance all the time. The guidance is very clear. Ayatun bayyinat. These are clear signs given to you. However, Shaitan tries to confuse us by bringing different factors and different elements into our thinking about these ayat and thinking about what is the right step to take. And since we have temptations and desires, then things would become really, really confused for us. So, no, confusion doesn't come from God. It comes from Shaitan, I think. Yes. Thank you.
I just wanted to just try and extrapolate from the story and just then question that. If Adam had just been stripped and said, look, I'm not even listening to Abraham's call, this wouldn't have happened. Instead he decided to use his mind almost and try to listen to Shaitan, listen to what he said, analyze the situation. And finally got to a situation where he was coming to this rational process where he had a doubt put into his mind, using the reason as to why he was not allowed to keep from the truth. Huh? But if you look at it from what we have maybe today, is that we have the rules from Allah, and some are considered grey areas because they're discussed by the ulama to say, what is the real rule of Allah? We don't know, we have to discuss it. In this situation, we as individuals have to make rational decisions. If we're strict and we say we don't do anything, then we won't fall into that trap of the same thing that Adam. If we use our mind, we have obviously the hole that Shaitan can penetrate all the time. This leaves us in a little bit of a funny situation. Are we saying that, look, all we have to do is just follow what the ulama at the current time has said are the rules, including the grey areas? Or are we saying that no, what we have to do is we have to use our rational faculties, analyze the situation, and come up with what we think is an option?
Well, we shouldn't confuse between rulings and individual decisions in practical issues. You see, there is a ruling. Say, for example, that usury is haram. Okay, this is the ruling of the Quran, we know, and there is definition for it. But sometimes we come across one possible situation is that you doubt about what is usury at all. Okay. And in this case, of course, we have to go and find out really what is the real definition of usury. And without trying to deceive or whatever, to find out what really Allah has said. This is very important. This is the job of ulama. What they do, they go, they investigate, they find out what is really the definition of usury. And then they put it forward for us as much as they can. Now, then the next step is that we really understand what they say about it. Now, then comes cases in which there is confusion. Whether we have to, for example, embark on such and such business, although it equals some usage or not, is there any other choice for us or not? And these things, which are individual decisions, then ulama cannot help us in this. It's just our own analysis that we have to follow. And the status of these cases compared to the status of Adam alayhi salam is that, okay, the knowledge he was given that he shouldn't have eaten from that tree, it was completely defined for him, as things are defined for us as much as possible. Then the next step is, okay, in a situation like that, what is really forbidden, what is not? Can I take a step like this or I could not? Is this something which would comply with the rule or would not comply with the rule? These are the things that ulama cannot help us. So we have to decide for ourselves, we have to analyze for ourselves.
Then what I want to ask them is that is the Quran saying in these cases you should not do it because if you have this idea that then afterwards, like the ayah that you said afterwards, you don't follow what happened to the Adam and make you fall from the jungle.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, the best thing is to follow really what we know of the rulings, rather than making different analysis to run away or to escape, to find loopholes into the ruling. That's the dangerous area that might lead us to such a situation.
Yes. Two things. First of all, people who argue about telling the prophets that they not disobey, because the total disobedience to the command of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was very clear, that's one point. And secondly, if Adam alayhi salam were not to have been deceived by Shaitan, what would have happened? Because originally Adam alayhi salam was created for this earth anyway. How would he have been sent to the earth if not for that?
About the first point, as I mentioned, the account of that garden should be completely separated from the account of human beings on this earth. When we say the Anbiya are ma'sumin, they do not commit sin, it means that, of course, after human beings have come on this earth, we somehow make give a different account to what happened in that garden. And as I said, our ulama say that it was not a sin, it was arka'una, which of course, to give it a sort of a spin which would make it understandable, is that Adam doubted whether it was a sin or not, whether he was committing a sin or he was not committing a sin, whether that was the direct command of God or it was something that God didn't want him to become eternal. That's why he told him not to eat. But to make the choice was his. To become eternal, not become eternal, a confusion, a shubha, which makes it tarka'ula actually. However, the account should be completely different from what we have on this earth. Now, what would have happened if Adam was not deceived by Shaitan? Probably we were born in that garden. Probably, of course, we don't know. And then we would have been deceived by Shaitan. And we would have come to this earth. So, it would have been the same thing. It was only Adam who had been somehow given the acquittal from committing this sin. And of course, if it was for us to somehow follow Shaitan, we wouldn't have asked him so many questions. As soon as he had told us, we would have followed him. Yeah.
Sorry, after this, can I make it the last question? Do you have some last questions?
Just want to ask you, when Allah told Adam that don't go near that tree, right? And he went, what was my meaning, whether it's a tree or not? He disobeyed Allah. And if he disobeyed Allah, Allah was not pleased, he was annoyed. And then the ayah of Surah Azab, number 57, comes here. إِنَّ الَّذِينَ يُؤْذُونَ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ لَعَنَهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ عَذَابًا مُهِينًا.
No, that's not izah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No. Not every disobedience is izah of Allah. Izah of Allah, annoying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is when you really, really annoy his awliya. This is izah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not but committing ordinary sins. Of course, that's wrongdoing to one's own self. Because then if you take that ayah like that, إن الذين يؤذون الله ورسوله لعنهم الله في الدنيا والآخرة. Whoever annoys God and His Prophet would be cursed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world and in the next. Then all of us should be cursed because all of us commit sin, isn't it? Whether a small sin or big sin or whatever. Then in this case, all human beings, you are leaving no one outside the ruling of curse of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this case. So certainly the ayah doesn't mean such a situation, which of course Tawbah comes, mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala comes. It's different. Yeah. Okay.